Well, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we're continuing in our study of the seven churches in Asia. And we're up to what church today? Sardis. The church that's dead. And we're coming to Sardis, the fourth church. The fifth church, Sardis, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so these messages to the seven churches are important for today. They are the messages to the different types of churches that we have today in the church age. And here we have the type here of a dead church, the church in Sardis. If any of you know me very well, you know that I love history. And I love things having to do with history and the Civil War and all types of things historical. And you know, this message to the church in Sardis relates with the history of the city of Sardis. And the history of the city of Sardis really teaches very well the importance of learning from history. It shows it extremely well. And so if we go back to the history of the church in Sardis to begin with, we go back to Belshazzar. You remember Belshazzar? He had a big feast in Babylon. And Daniel was called in there, and he had the handwriting up on the wall. Well, what was going on at that time? Well, there was a siege of Babylon. Belshazzar was sitting in his city, and he thought he had nothing in the world to worry about. And he had a big banquet, and he was living it up, and he was partying. And they had the enemy army of the Persians was all around there, Medes and the Persians. But he didn't care about that. He just cared about partying. And the Persians came in that night. The handwriting on the wall said that he was finished. And that very night, the Persians diverted the river that ran through Babylon. They went under the wall, and they came in and conquered the city. And what was the problem with Belshazzar and the Babylonians? They were not watching. They were not watching. They were not attentive. They were not watching for the enemy to come in. They were overconfident. And you know, that's what it says in our message here, to watch. Watch. Well, to begin with, what does that have to do with Sardis? Well, we're getting to that. Well, Darius the Mede went in there and conquered Babylon. Came in while they weren't watching. A few years later, he died, and Cyrus came on the throne of Persia. And so Cyrus, he was expanding his empire around the known world of that time, fighting here, fighting there, conquering here, conquering there. And he was the guy that's in the Bible that gave the decree for the Jews to go back to the promised land, back to Israel. And so he was conquering around, And he came up against the city of Sardis. And the city of Sardis was the capital of the Lydian Empire. And the Lydian Empire of that time was said to have been the richest and most powerful empire in the world. The Lydian Empire, they're in Asia Minor, Turkey today. And the name of the king of that city is synonymous with being rich. The king of that city at that time of Sardis was Croesus. And have you ever heard the saying, as rich as Croesus? He was extremely rich. And he was sitting up there in Sardis. And so he had a battle with Cyrus, and Croesus lost the battle. He retreated back to his city of Sardis. And Sardis is a very, very powerful position. Sardis is like the old Masada. It's a city way up on top of a 1,500-foot hill with steep sides that cannot be scaled. Only one entrance into the city, and that's well guarded. And so Croesus, he retreated from that battle. He went up on that city, and he thought he was secure. And he did exactly what Belshazzar did. He was sitting up in the city, and he didn't watch. And so by night, Cyrus had men climb up a crack that was in the side of the city, in the side of the hill there. And men climbed up that crack that they hadn't noticed, and they went up and conquered the city. When the city of Sardis, when Croesus and his army were not watching, they were not watching. But Sardis is told here to watch. And then you go on another 300 years, and Antiochus the Great was fighting against another person there in that area. And that other person, Achaeus, he was up on the city there of Sardis. 300 years later, he thought he was secure, and Antiochus went up, climbed up the side of the city, and took the city again. And they weren't watching. And so Antiochus did not learn from history. It had already been done. But he didn't learn from the lessons of what had happened before. And Croesus had not learned from what happened to Belshazzar back in Babylon. And so history is important. The Bible is full of history. And it has been said that he that will not learn from history is doomed to repeat it. And that's exactly what happened with Croesus, and then later on with the enemy of Antiochus. The same exact thing at Sardis. So Sardis, a very interesting history. We go on. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. What are the seven spirits of God? Well, I would say that's just the Holy Spirit and its fullness, different aspects of the Holy Spirit. The seven spirits of God and the seven stars, which are the angels of the seven churches. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And so Sardis, that church there, was dead, dead, dead. And God said he knew their works. They had done things for the Lord, I'm sure. And you know, God knows all our works that we do for him. And he knows when nobody else knows. He knows what we do good and what we do bad. But anyway, God knew the works of Sardis, that they had a name that they lived and were dead. We have a lot of people today, a lot of entities today that have the name Christian, which are not Christian. And to begin with, the United States. The United States today is Veterans Day. A very important day. We commemorate the signing of the armistice at the end of World War I. And since then, it's been Veterans Day. And you know, the United States has a glorious history, a godly history, a Christian history. The United States was a Christian nation in the past, but today, America is no longer a Christian nation. Praise the Lord, we've seen a little bit of progress in the United States lately, going back to our Christian heritage, but not much. And abortion is still legal in our country. Gay marriage is still legal. And we are not a Christian nation, but we have a name that we live, but are dead. And I might say that I'm patriotic. When we come to Veterans Day, I'm patriotic, even though I talk bad about the United States quite often. But it is our country, even though it does have a lot of problems. Today we have the National Football League players that all take a knee and they don't want to stand for the national anthem. And they don't want to show their patriotism. They don't want to show that they love their country because they say our country has problems. Well, I believe our country does have serious problems, but I still believe we need to show respect to the nation in which we live and, of course, our godly heritage that we have had. You know, it's a different America that we have today than what was back at the time of World War II. In World War II, the entire Green Bay Packers football team up and enlisted in the military for World War II. Could you see the Philadelphia Eagles doing that today? No. Is that it's a whole different world. But today, the United States has a name that it lives, but it's dead, as a name that it's Christian. We've got a lot of churches that have the name Christian, but they're not Christian. We have apostate churches. We have Roman Catholic churches. We have cultic churches. They all like the name Christian, but they're using it, but they're not Christian. They have a name that thou livest and are dead. Judas was our original example of that. Remember Judas with the 12 apostles? He had a name as Christian, but he was not a Christian. He put up a good show for a while, but he wasn't a Christian. And so it's very possible to walk down the aisle of a church at the invitation and still not be a Christian. We have to pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin. We have to make the Lord our Lord and Savior, the master of our life, to get to heaven. We have to say with the publican, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But we got a lot of people with the name Christian that aren't Christians. And in Brazil today, it's the fad today, the thing that they do today that everybody likes to do, to call themselves Christians. They call themselves evangelicals. But most of them are not really Christians, just like in our nation here. So then we go on to verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So the church in Sardis, just like the city, is told to watch. The city did not watch. But the church is told to watch. Be watchful. If thou wilt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief. What does it mean to watch? Well, we need to watch in at least three different areas. We need to watch in our own personal lives. We need to watch. We need to be vigilant. You know, they say that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And that's true. And that's the price of continuing on with the Lord in our daily life and in the church. We need to be watching, watching for error creeping in. We're like that city of Sardis up there, and error can be creeping up into our lives when we're not watching. And we need to be watching for those errors that come into our lives, those bad habits that come into our lives. People are creatures of habit, and we need to have good habits and not bad habits. The only way we remember to do many things is because it's a habit. And you know how you can remember to have devotions? Because you make it a habit. Habit at a certain time of day. How can you remember to have family devotions? Make it a habit at a certain time. And so we have to be watching whether those bad habits are creeping up on us, just like they creeped up on the city of Sardis. Be watchful, not only in our personal lives, but also in the church. Error creeps into the church. It creeps in little by little by little. And we need to be watching for that error that comes into the church. You remember the Puritans back in the history of the church? They got their name because they wanted to purify the church from the errors that had crept into the church. And we need to purify our church from errors that creep in, and we need to watch for those errors creeping in. Just give an example. I was over there in Cameroon. And now they have a new error that has crept into the church over there, having to do with money and things. And now, I never saw it before, but now I was in the service there, and they had a day where everybody brought in gifts for the pastor. And so they were bringing in mattresses and TVs and all kinds of things in, gifts for the pastor. Well, that's not what we should be doing in church, focusing on those material things. But that's an example of an error that has crept in. And there's always errors like that coming in, and we need to be watching for those errors. That's why we put out this paper, The Fundamentalist, to watch for those errors that are creeping into the church, creeping into the church in worship, creeping into the church in many other ways. We need to be watchful, as the church in Sardis is told to be watchful. And then finally, we need to be watchful for our liberty. You know, they've said that freedom is not free. And today we celebrate Veterans Day. And you know, the veterans ensure that we have that liberty that we enjoy here in the United States. And without our military here in the United States, we would not have liberty. Without our military, the communists would have taken us over long ago. And it's something that's very necessary, because in the world in which we live, we have the fallen human nature. And there are always leaders that want to get more and more and more power. And they want to get more and more countries, more and more peoples, more and more. And they do that by taking away people's liberty. And so we have, be watchful as a nation against threats to our liberty. And they're not only foreign, but they're domestic, especially domestic. We have the spying on us by the federal government today and all the different things that go on, eroding away at our liberties. Be watchful, and then strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the things which remain. You know, in World War II, the Italians were fighting with the Germans. And the Italians were not very good troops, generally. They weren't very disciplined, and they didn't do very well in battle, usually. But the Germans did very well and were very disciplined. And so they took to the practice of putting German units and German officers embedded in the Italian troops with them to try to firm them up, strengthen them. And you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do today, especially there in Brazil. This paper there, I'm trying to firm up the fundamentalists there in Brazil. By the way, that's a good name, fundamentalists. They like to drag that through the mud today. The media drags it through the mud. But there's no other good name to have for somebody that stands for anything. Evangelical doesn't stand for anything. And that's the only name we're left with. And so we need to strengthen the things that remain and strengthen the things in the church. And that's what we're trying to do in Brazil. Strengthen the things which remain. And you notice that there were a few things that remained in the church at Sardis, even though they were already told that they were dead. And so you see, here's a practice in Scripture that the church as a whole was dead, even though there were a few exceptions to the rule. And so we can talk in general terms. Today, people act like you can never talk in general terms. You can't say the church is dead. There's people in there that are good. But the Scripture talks as a whole, just like the prophets back in the Old Testament. The prophets would talk about Israel being apostate, even though there were a few good names there, 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And so, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Their works were not perfect. Probably they were not doing them for the right reasons. You know, we have to do good things, and we also have to do them for the right reasons, and especially to give honor and praise to God, to serve our God. Then verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. And this is very interesting here, the wording here. Remember how you have received. Well, you know, I'm very strong on the King James Version of the Bible. And I'm very strong on it for one big reason is it uses the received text. It uses the text that has been received by the church down through the centuries. And we should do just like in this verse here to Sardis. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received. We received the received text. It was passed down to us. God has always preserved His Word down through the centuries. We don't have to go in the trash can somewhere in some monastery and discover God's Word. God has preserved His Word. And remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. And it's not only the received text, but we've received a lot of other things from the church. You know, today we have, everybody wants new things today. New hymns, new Bibles, new preaching, new everything. And you know, we have received a great heritage from the godly people that have gone before us. And we need to remember that godly heritage. We have these hymns that we sung this morning. Those are hymns in the history of the church. Today it's just contemporary music that's just come in the last 30 or 40 years. And we have things that are passed down hundreds and hundreds of years in our hymn book here. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Hold fast. Hold fast how long? How long should we hold fast? Until the next new thing comes down the road? You know, the Christians in the past held fast for centuries, these things. And everybody wants to get rid of them today. Hold fast. Continue to hold fast till the end. Continue. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. How often do you have to watch in order to prevent the thief from coming? You have to watch all the time, continuously, because you don't know what time the thief is going to come. And we need to be watching in our lives, in the church, in our country, continuously. It's a long-term effort. And we don't want that thief to come upon us. And thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. And then verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. How would they defile their garments? Well, they would defile their garments with sin. They would defile their garments with the world. You know, we're told to be separate from the world. We're told, love not the world. But today, people want to bring the world into the church to make the church more acceptable to the world. And we don't want the church more acceptable to the world. We don't want to chase people off necessarily, but We don't want the world in the church to draw in the world. And they like to talk about come as you are. The trouble is they come as they are and they leave as they are. And they stay the same. Thou hast a few names in Sardis. Once again, there were some exceptions to the rule. It was a dead church, but there were a few names there which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And here it seems to have the flavor of the old Roman triumph. You remember back in the Roman Empire, when they had a triumph, a big military victory, they would come home to Rome and they would have a big parade and they would march down the streets of Rome and they would display their captives and they would have a victory march. And that's what it sounds like here. That at the end, after we've watched, after we've been faithful, after we've finished our course and the fight, we will walk with God, with Christ in white. And so then we have verse 5. He that overcomes, the same will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now in this verse here, we always have the promises to the overcomer, but in this verse here, it almost seems that there's a possibility of losing your salvation here. Because it says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Does that mean that it's possible to have your name blotted out of the book of life? Well, an Arminian, he would take this verse to mean that. And he would take that as a possibility. But it's not really a possibility that our name, once it's in the book of life, could be blotted out. But this is a warning given that we might watch and be worthy. Let's go back to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, and see along this line of warning and whether it's possible or not to have our name blotted out, whether it's possible or not to lose our salvation. Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. And here's a very good example in the Bible of this warning and what it means. But after, this is on Paul's voyage to Rome, there was a big storm. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now you see here, it was promised Paul from God himself that what would happen? That everyone would be saved on that ship. It was promised. That was a sure promise written in stone that everybody would be saved. But then you go down to verse 30. Verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, the sailors, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, Paul now, after he had already promised that they would all be saved, here he says, if these sailors get out of the boat, you won't be saved. But was there any possibility that they wouldn't be saved? There was no possibility. And so this was a warning by Paul to keep the sailors in the ship that they all would be saved. A warning that kept them in, that they might be saved, even though there was no possibility that they would be lost. God used the warning to fulfill his will to save them all. And that's how it is with many of these scriptures in the Bible, like this one about not blotting out the name. That's a warning to keep us in the right way. And that warning is a means that God uses to keep us in the right way. And so God tells us to be watchful, to keep us in the right way, so that our name is not blotted out, and that warning keeps us in the right way, and our name is not blotted out, even though there was never any possibility that our name was going to be blotted out, because God was going to see to it that we would endure to the end. And like on my course on Presbyterianism over in Cameroon, I kept emphasizing that when we're saved, we become a sheep. We're a lamb of the Lord, sheep, as opposed to the goat. And we are one of God's flock, one of his sheep. And you know, we never change back into a goat. And you know, the people, the Arminians, the Pentecostals, others, they teach that you go from a sheep to a goat to a sheep to a goat over and over and over every time you sin and you get right. But that's not how it is. We stay a sheep once we're a sheep. And God punishes us when we go into sin. He leads us in the right way. He keeps us in the right way. And one of those ways that he keeps us in the right way is those warnings that he gives in God's word. And one of those is here: I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Well, what did Jesus say? He said, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father. And we need to not be ashamed of Christ. We need to be good witnesses for him. We need to be out there giving out the good news and not ashamed. And why do people not witness? Well, the big reason is they're afraid of what people might think of them. People might think that they are religious fanatics. And you know, we need not to worry about that. We need to confess Christ before men. And he will confess us before the Father and before his angels. And at the end of every one of these messages to the seven churches, we have, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. These messages are very important. They're important for the church today. They're important, and we need to watch. We need to watch. Watch for the purity of the church. Watch for the purity of our lives. Watch for our freedom in our country and the world around us. Let's bow in closing prayer. O Lord, we pray that thou bless these thoughts to our hearts. O Lord, help us to watch that our name be not blotted out from the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen.